All right, if you have your Bibles or your devices, turn to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. And we're going to read a verse that you probably read maybe at Christmas time if you read your Bible. Some people never read the Bible, so maybe they have the Bible on tape or whatever. It says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rise upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and then Prince of Peace. And we're going to talk about tonight that Jesus is our Prince of Peace. And this is obviously a foretelling about Jesus. But it goes on to say, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So it says that there will be no end to the peace that Jesus brings. Once he brings it, there is no end. You know, we have the scripture, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But really, we can say it like this. The peace of Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he came to bring peace. Not just peace for the time when he was on the earth, but peace for the time that you're on the earth as well. And so many times that we look at churches, we look at Christians around the world, and we don't see a lot of peace. In fact, do you realize the amount of anxiety medication that is given to Americans and to Christians? I mean, it's crazy. People do not seem to have a lot of peace in the world that we live in. And you know, we have the opportunity to have peace, but we have to have peace through Jesus. You realize Jesus did die for our sins, but you have to accept him as your Lord and Savior. You have to accept Jesus as your Prince of Peace. Just like, you know, he took the stripes on his back for your healing. Your healing belongs to you, but you know what? You have to ask him for your healing. But you know, a lot of us, we sit around not in peace and we try to figure out, well, why don't I have any peace? It's because you haven't asked him. It says, we have not because we ask not. Ask what we will and it shall be done. It says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Amen. Let's go over to the New Testament, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 in verse 27. Before Jesus died upon the cross, he was talking to his disciples and he was telling them about what was going to happen. And he was kind of letting them know. He was, you know, they didn't realize what really was going to happen, but he was trying to tell them not to worry about it. I mean, it's all been prophesied a long time ago. But John chapter 14, verse 27 says this. Jesus told his disciples, and he's telling us, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. But if you love me, you will rejoice because I said I'm going to my Father, for my Father is greater than I. So he says, you know, hey guys, in a few days I'm going to be gone. But I'm going to leave you with one thing, and that's my peace. Because see, whenever he came to this earth, he came to bring us peace. And whenever he left the earth, he didn't leave to take it away. He left his peace for us. And not just an ordinary peace. You know, it says, you know, the peace that no one can take from you. Let's read this from the New Living Translation because it's new and living. Sometimes it might help you. Sometimes it might not. But anyway, it says this way. It says, I am leaving you with a gift. Peace, a peace of mind and heart. So it's not just peace, it's peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So do not be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you, I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really love me, you would be happy that I'm going to my Father who is greater than I am. And so basically, I actually, you know, he was really saying that, you know, it's going to be better. Even though we don't understand how it's going to be better, the disciples, you know, whenever Jesus is gone, but he said, do not be afraid, have peace. Have peace. Now, do you understand that we have the peace of God that no man can take away from us. But sometimes that we, because you realize that we're all human. If you didn't realize that, then you might be crazy. But we're all human, all right? Humans, the way we think is, well, the way you have peace is for it to be peaceful on the outside. But what Jesus says, it might not be peaceful on the outside, but you can still have peace. And see, some people kind of have wrongfully thought, well, when they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and that peace come in, then all of a sudden around about them will be a bunch of peace. And whenever they walk around, and even there they walk into a place where there's people arguing and stuff like that, all of a sudden peace will abound, but that's not how it is. What happens is that you have peace on the inside, and if you have peace on the inside, that nothing that happens on the outside will shake your peace. You know, in fact, it is interesting because when we look at what we call the signs of the time, let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 6 from the New King James. And I'm going to go ahead and start just because we can, get there faster. Matthew 24, 6 says this, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famine, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows." You know, what Jesus was telling everyone, he told the disciples there was going to be peace, but then he tells us, hey, we're not going to have peace on the outside. There's going to be earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilence and dangers and all kinds of bad stuff is going to happen. Those are the signs of the time. So you should not expect that you're going to have peace on the outside, but you should expect you can have peace on the inside, even in spite of all the situations and all the circumstances going on. And I'm here to tell you, as you're going through life, there will be things that are going to rock your world. There's going to be things that are very devastating that you don't understand why it happened. And you don't know, on the outside, you're thinking, how am I going to get through this? And how you get through it is you have to lean on the inside. And you have to know, no matter what, God loves you. No matter what, Jesus loves you. No matter what, people love you. And you're going to get through this. And it might not be easy. It might not be fun. And sometimes we don't even have human words that we can say except for, "I'm sorry, I'm praying for you." And you feel, well, that's not adequate enough. But you know what I can tell you? There is one person you can turn to, and that's Jesus Christ. And he can make everything okay. And you can lean on the inside. And it doesn't matter what's happened on the outside. Now, I'm here to tell you that, I've never read through the entire gospel where Jesus was walking around and he turned to Peter and he says, "Man, I can't handle this anymore. This is just too tough. I think I need a vacation. I can't handle all the stress. I can't handle all these Pharisees and the Sadducees, other people you see, they're all about me, you see, and they're trying to kill me, you see, and I don't know what else to do." Jesus never was worried about anything. Not one time do we ever read in the Bible where Jesus told his disciples, "I don't know what to do." Even whenever they're in the middle of nowhere and they had no food, and there wasn't any fast food joints around. There wasn't, they couldn't call Uber Eats or anything else. All they had was a little boy that, thank God, this little boy, his mama loved him and packed him a lunch. So whenever Jesus said, "Guys, there's 5,000 plus people here. What do we have to eat?" And said, "Well, we can steal this little boy's lunch. It's not a lot. At least feed us, though." So Jesus said, "Well, bring me his lunch." And Jesus blessed the lunch and fed everybody with the lunch. You notice it didn't say Jesus stressed out and began to worry. and begin to fret. No, he didn't stress out about seemingly not having any food. He always knew what to do. And see, the Bible clearly tells us that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, which is the same Spirit that walked with Jesus during all that time, is the same Spirit on the inside of you. And that Spirit always knows what to do. It always knows what to do to achieve peace. And I get it. Maybe you don't always know what to do, but what you do know what to do is turn to the inside. Is, you know, because like I said, there's going to be things that rock your world. And whenever you think that nothing else could rock your world any worse than what happened before, something else will rock your world. You know, but we have to know who we are in Christ Jesus. We have to know what we've been given. And like I said, even it was prophesied in the Old Testament in Isaiah that his peace should be upon us for the rest of our life. Because see, Jesus already, he's already came. See, that was prophesied before he came, but we entered the game after he already came. So that means from the day that we entered this world, Jesus already came. So we had the peace, or we had the opportunity to receive the peace of Jesus. Because he is the Prince of Peace. Now, what's interesting about it is that Jesus was all about peace. Because remember after they found the tomb and it was empty? Remember that in the Bible? Well, over in John chapter 20, in John chapter 20, whenever they found the tomb that was empty, and the disciples were kind of afraid because some people were saying, well, the disciples snuck in and, you know, and they stole Jesus' body. So they locked themselves in a place and they were kind of hiding from everybody, you know, hoping that nobody finds them. And so John chapter 20, verse number 19 says this, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them. So this is the first time Jesus ever appeared to his disciples. And you know what the first thing he said? Peace be with you. Now, you know, it's kind of interesting because one of the last things he said to his disciples was to have peace. And then the first thing he said whenever he reappeared again is, peace be with you. What I'm trying to tell you is Jesus is all about peace. And if Jesus is all about peace, so should you be all about peace. Because peace is very important. I tell you what, man, if you live in a home that's not peaceful, it's no fun. I mean, have you ever walked in a room where maybe you weren't there, but people had an argument? Whenever you walked in the room, you could feel it in the atmosphere, even though you weren't there when they were arguing. You could feel the tension. Or maybe you're at some kind of event, and there are some people that don't really like each other, and whenever they're close to each other, there's this tension in the room. I mean, it's an anti-peace. But Jesus came that we might have peace. And it's really interesting. The first thing he said was, peace be with you. And then when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Verse 21 says, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. So it's interesting. Jesus was all about peace. All about peace. Now, also, there was one of the disciples that wasn't there. You know what his name was? Thomas. That's where we get the term doubting Thomas. Thomas wasn't there, and so he didn't see all this. So let's skip down to verse 24. It says, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. So Thomas like said, guys, you guys are crazy. I mean, you're delusional. Maybe you've been locked up too long. I mean, what have you been doing when you've ever been hiding or whatever? Anyway, so After 8 days, so 8 days later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas, the Simon, was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut. So, I mean, he didn't open the door, he just walked through the door. Anyway, it says, doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." So the next, he appears to him again, the first thing he says was, "Peace to you." Interesting about that. All about peace. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand there and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And then he goes on. Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me yet have believed." Now, we haven't seen Jesus in the flesh, but we believe. But one thing we believe is that peace is still present today. And if we really believe that peace is present, then we don't get all freaked out every time we turn around. Now, I understand things happen, like I said, to rock our world. And then for a short time, sometimes they were like, "Man, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" But one thing that we need to know is what to do when we don't know what to do. We need to know what to do when it seems that there is no peace, when it seems that there's lots of turmoil, when it seems that everything is not going good. Well, what do? We turn to Jesus. We look to him. We lean on him. You know, I hope you have other good Christian friends you can lean on, but you know what? Even if you don't, you still have Jesus, the friend that's closer than a brother. The one that will never leave you, that will never forsake you. Wherever you are, he's there also. In the middle of your troubles, in the middle of your trials, in the middle of situations that you thought would never happen, Jesus is with you. And he's telling you it's all going to be okay. And I know it doesn't feel like right now it's going to be okay because you don't know how it's going to be okay. But it's not about you to know how it's going to be okay. It's to you to know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the okay maker. He is the one that makes it okay. He is the one that helps you in any situation, even if it's a situation that you got yourself into. Because many people think, well, if I got myself in that situation, then how is he going to help me because it was my fault? It doesn't matter if it's your fault, somebody else's fault, doesn't matter whose fault it is. Jesus still loves you. He still cares about you. He still wants to tell you it's going to be okay. Just lean on me. Just trust in me. You know, you go back to the Old Testament, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, because right now you don't understand how it's going to be okay. But you don't have to understand. You don't have to understand. Just let him walk those things out through your life. You're like, but sometimes they say, well, I can't imagine how it's going to be okay. Well, you know what? Casting down imagination is not about what you can imagine. It's about what you know. And you know Jesus came to this world to make things okay. He came to this world to bring peace to you. And, you know, it doesn't stop because you go through a situation that rocked your world. That doesn't stop his peace. Now, but here's the thing is you have an opportunity to have his peace or not have his peace because really it's up to you. Peace belongs to you. It belongs to you, but all you got to do is ask. And Paul tells us over in Philippians chapter 4, he tells us exactly how to get that peace, the peace that we can't describe. Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 6, it says this, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." And then what happens? It says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus." Reading from the New Living Translation says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus." So he says, you know what? You're going to go through times that are going to rock your world, and your mind is going to start wondering, how in the world will I ever achieve peace again? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to get through this situation? Whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whatever it might be. How am I going to do it? But Paul's saying, you know what? Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. See, you know what? If you didn't have Jesus, then you should worry. But Paul's saying, don't worry because you know what to do. Well, what do I do, Paul? Well, you go to Jesus. You go to Jesus. You go to him. And you tell him what you need, right? That's what I said. Instead, pray about everything. So whenever you don't know what to do, pray about it. Now, when you pray, what you're doing is you're asking. And it says this. It says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Man, what do you need? What do you need? Is there something you need? I mean, sometimes you just flat out need peace because you just don't have peace. So sometimes you need finances. Sometimes you need healing. But what is it that you need? Because whatever you need, he'll provide. What is it that you need? What did you come here tonight needing? Because if there's something that you need, and because I found that when we need something, we get concerned, we get worried, we're trying to figure out how it's going to happen. You know, we think in our own mind, well, if I do this, and if I do that, and if I do the hokey pokey, and I turn myself around. You know, what do we need to do? And you realize that if you could figure it out, you would do it. You realize if you could figure out what to do, then you really wouldn't have a problem because you already figured out the solution. But when it comes to a point where you don't know what to do because you can't figure it out because it looks like it's too big for you, but remember, you know, the keynote scripture of our ministry is about a mountain that has to move. So things that look big are like mountains. And when things look like a mountainous experience, what do you do? What do you tell a mountain? You tell it to move. Now, here's the thing. And sometimes we don't think about this because sometimes we have this microwave faith and everything happens immediately. You know, when Jesus said this, he spoke to the mountain, you know, sometimes the mountain doesn't move immediately. And in fact, I'll give you an illustration. That whole mountain experience was about the fig tree. Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and when he spoke to the fig tree and cursed it to die, nothing happened. But in the morning when they got there, the fig tree died. Something happened between the time Jesus spoke and the time they got there that next morning. So maybe you're going through the period between the time you speak and the next morning. And you say, well, you know what? It feels like more than a day. Well, the day in the Lord is like 1,000 years. So you know what? 1,000 years is only a day. So, you know, it doesn't matter how long it takes. What matters is that you spoke the word. You came to Jesus. And that mountain has to move. It has to move. But you know what? While you're waiting for it to move, you can still walk in peace. Well, how am I going to do that? Because you've already asked. Because you've already gave it to God. You've already leaned not to your own understanding and said, God, man, this is my issue. We have lots of issues. Mom talked about issues the other day. Great sermon. I mean, you should get that. It's out back in the bookstore. If you have issues, please go back there and say, I need the issue message Miss Lynette preached. We all have issues. You know, the thing about it is, God is still in control. He's still in control. Jesus is still bringing the peace. Because it says that once you've asked, it doesn't say once you've received your answer when you have peace. It says once you've asked. It says this, so let's read it. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you experience God's peace. It doesn't say when you get it, you're going to experience God's peace. It says once you tell him, you're going to experience peace. See, a lot of people will say, well, you know, they want to be like the Doubting Thomas of peace. Well, when I get it, I'll have peace. Well, not really, because you already have it. You're going to have peace whenever you ask, because you know what? You know that your God not only is able, you know your God's willing, you know your God loves you. So it says that we should have peace that passes all understanding. Well, what kind of peace is that? I don't know. I can't even understand it. Because I've heard people even ask me, well, how am I supposed to understand that kind of peace? And I'm like, are you stupid? Do you not read the Bible? The Bible clearly says you cannot understand it. That means you're going to have peace more than you can understand. You're going to have peace even whenever people don't understand. How are you having peace during this time? Do you know what your problems are? And see, you'll have the devil bring that up to you. You'll have some of your friends bring that up to you. You'll have some of your relatives bring that up to you. You might even have your husband, your wife bring that up to you. Do you know what kind of issues you're going through? Yeah, but I've already prayed. I've already asked. I've already let the Prince of Peace overtake me. I've already cast my care upon the Lord. I know where I stand. My faith is in God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the evidence of things not seen. So I have the evidence whenever I have the faith, whenever I ask. I already have what I need. Yeah, but I don't see it. Neither did Thomas. Don't be a doubting Thomas. You don't have to see it. You have to know that from the beginning, from the day that Jesus came to this earth, he came to bring forth peace. And we have scripture back in Isaiah said that his peace is everlasting. It will never end. Never end. And if his peace never ends, that means I can get a piece of his peace. And I can let that peace be shed abroad in my heart. And I can have peace that's not even understandable. And you know, and the thing is, you're not going to understand how you have peace, why you have peace, and other people won't understand, but it's okay that they don't understand. Because we don't understand God. We don't understand how good God is. And we don't understand how heaven. We don't understand a good you hear stories about people that have died before their time and they've gone to heaven. And these are people who have kids and wives and husbands and they say they didn't want to come back. I can't even fathom. I would never want to be separated from my kids and my grandkids. I want to watch them grow up. But heaven is such an awesome place that you don't even care. But you know, sometimes you need to get that mentality. You know what? I don't care what it looks like. I don't care that things are rocking my world. What I do care about is that I know Jesus, and I know that Jesus has the peace of God that passes all understanding on the inside of me. And I'm going to walk with that peace. And I'm going to be in that peace because I've already asked. Not because I have it, because I already have peace, because I asked. You know, at one point in time, whatever I've been asking for is going to come, but I'm going to have peace until it comes. I'm going to have peace until the mountain moves. I'm going to have peace until whatever takes place, because you know what? I have a God that's full of peace. I have a God that loves me so much that he sent his son to bring forth peace to my life from the day I was born. I don't have to go ask for some kind of medication or some kind of this or some kind of that, because I know my God. I put my trust in my God. My favorite scripture, Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. If you can't have faith in God, then I don't know what you can have faith in. And I'm going to walk in peace whenever it's not peaceful. I'm going to walk in peace whenever I open some envelopes and it looks like I owe a lot of money to a lot of people. You know, sometimes it's definitely, well, what am I going to do? I don't know what you're going to do. The only thing you can do is you tell God what you need. You tell him your issues, you tell him your problems, and you say, God, fix it. I'm going to walk in peace. Well, how are you going to have that peace? I don't know, but the Bible says I'm going to have peace that passes all understanding. So you're not going to understand it. I'm not going to understand it. Nobody's going to understand it, but I'm still going to walk in peace. And don't you try to talk me out of it. Because many people, they try to talk you out of it. Have you read your mail? Have you seen your doctor's report? Hey, you can get online now and even look at your doctor's report. Look what your doctor just told you the other day. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the lawyer says. I don't care what the dentist says. I don't care what the tax man says. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what the bank says. I don't care what the landlord says. The only thing that really matters is what does Jesus say? And every time that Jesus appeared, he said, peace be with you. So you know what? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And every time he appears to me, he's saying, Craig, peace be with you. Whenever you're having that day, whenever it seems like troubles are going around, I can just remember what Jesus says, peace be with me. Peace be with me. That's what Jesus said. And he said it over and over and over again to his disciples. He said it before he left. He said it when he came back. And he said it when he reappeared again. You know, and we've all read these scriptures, all seen scriptures, but sometimes we don't put them all together. Jesus is all about peace. And he's been about peace from day one. And if he's all about peace, then we should have a lot of peace in the church. We should have a church full of peace, full of happiness. But a lot of churches don't have a church full of peace. A lot of congregations aren't full of peace. They're full of a lot of things, but not peace. But if you're full of Jesus, you should be full of peace. If you're being like Jesus, doing what Jesus did, if you're wearing the bracelet, WWJD, what would Jesus do? He would have peace in the middle of the storm. So I just want to invite you today to enjoy some of that peace. You know, and it's really easy to get all excited about that peace when we're sitting here. But I want you to have peace the next time something slaps you across the face and rocks your world. And your brain starts to go on tilt. Well, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it? How am I going to afford this? I mean, you know, it just seemed everything was going okay. You know what? We're living in the last days. In the last days, things are going to fall apart. Things are going to happen we thought would never happen. Great sorrows, it says, will happen. But then the Bible really says to look up. Look up. Look to the inside. Have the peace that passes all understanding. Be full of peace. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here, each and every person that's watching us online. And Father God, we just thank you to help us whenever we face situations and trials and tribulations and things that we never thought would happen in life. Help us understand that we can look to the inside and we can find our peacemaker there. We can be full of peace. That peace that passes all understanding. That peace that no man can take away from us. We thank you, Father, to help us to be full of peace. Full of peace. We thank you, Father, for peace. We thank you, Father, for peace. Peace on the inside. Peace on the inside. Father God, we thank you for everything that you have done, everything you both you are doing, both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, the honor, the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Peace I leave you with. Not man's peace, but a peace that no one can take away from you. I want you to remember those words. I want you to remember those words every time that you're facing some situations and your mind starts going on tilt. I want you to remember that every time Jesus appeared to his disciples, he said, peace I give to you. Peace I give to you. Live a life of peace. Amen. Let's all stand up. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you tonight. We have the team that's there, and they have a gift they want to give you. So if you'll go with them to a special place, we have a gift for you. And we want to say thank you for coming. We invite you to come back. We have services here on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Sunday nights at 6 p.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. And we encourage you to come if you're from this area. We encourage you to make this your church home. If you're not from this area, we encourage you to make this your church home away from home if you're ever in this area. Amen? Amen. Well, the way we do on Wednesday nights, if you need prayer for anything, whether it's salvation, whether it's infilling of the Holy Spirit, whether it's just prayer for healing, prayer for whatever you might need. That we have some women and some men here to pray with you. If you're a woman, you go talk to the women. If you're a man, you go talk to the man. And like I say every week, if you don't know what you are, we have ushers that will help you figure out what you are, and they'll point you to the right direction. Amen? Amen. Turn around, tell three people, have some peace. Peace out, and you're dismissed.